This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Expensive Bentleys aren't known for breakdowns and backfiring, but the polished sheen of British conservatism is tarnished in a monumental backfire from those snap elections that Prime Minister Theresa May called to increase her parliamentary majority before all-important Brexit negotiations begin in just 10 days. Increase her majority? How about her party lost it altogether? Conservatives cling to power weakly in a coalition with the Democratic Unionists in Northern Ireland, a pro-Brexit Northern Irish party. That's how parliamentary systems work.
I have just been to see Her Majesty the Queen, and I will now form a government. A government that can provide certainty and lead Britain forward at this critical time for our country.
Meanwhile, the Labour Party leader, Jeremy Corbyn, looks more like a sleek Jaguar 12-cylinder, vastly outperforming expectations. The Labour Party gained 30 parliamentary seats.
What's happened is people have said they've had quite enough of austerity politics. They've had quite enough of cuts in public expenditure, underfunding our health service, underfunding our schools and our education service, and not giving our young people the chance they deserve in our society.
So Corbyn's future is secure, but Conservative Party leader Theresa May's future is anything but. A new party leader for the Tories would mean a new prime minister in the UK. But again, as Dawn Foster, columnist for The Guardian, explains, that's also how things work under this parliamentary system.
So at 10 o'clock when the polls close, there's always an exit poll. And 2 years ago, everybody was completely shocked, expected Labour to lose, and it predicted a Tory majority. So this time, it came out, and it predicted a hung parliament, and yet again, everyone was unbelievably shocked. So initially, everyone thought the poll had to be wrong. The polls had oscillated a lot throughout the campaign. And as the night went on, it seemed that things were a lot worse for Theresa May. And finally, when it got down to counting, she was 8 short of a majority. And all she could do was turn to the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland to ask them to form a coalition with her.
Clearly, Labour has better capacity to mobilise its membership. And that has proved to be true.
Oh, no, completely. I think the big thing with Labour was the fact that in the past, most politicians have assumed that the electorate is stable. So people who don't vote will never vote. So all you can do is convince a different party's voters to vote for you. Whereas what we saw this time was Corbyn and his team realising that, you know, it would be very, very difficult to persuade a Tory voter to vote for socialist Jeremy Corbyn, but you could turn to the young people. So we saw Grime for Corbyn, which was lots of, you know, young black musicians coming out for him. And if you look at the youth vote, it's incredible. Last election it was 66%. This time it was nearly 74%. So Corbyn and Labour realised that the best thing to do was to get people who never vote and bring them on. So I think that's exactly what happened with Labour.
Is this a voting for our future, thinking about a Labour policy, a Labour vision, or is this a bit of a raving loony kind of let's upset the apple cart, pretty much like what happened in the United States with Donald Trump?
I think it's a lot more like Bernie Sanders. I think a lot of young people always felt that politics wasn't about them, it didn't include them, etc. And all of a sudden you saw lots and lots of young people realising that actually policies did affect them, actually their voice could be heard, and realising that all they had to do was get the vote out and all of a sudden they could change the face of Parliament. So this is why you have a guy who is, you know, 68 years old appealing to people who are 18, 19, 20, etc. Just giving them the policies they want, saying you can have a voice and you can change this. And just getting them out on the doorstep, teaching them how to campaign, and just making them feel as if they're listened to instead of simply relying on their parents' votes.
What's the story within the Tories?
So a lot of Conservatives didn't think going in, you know, for a snap election that finished 10 days before Brexit negotiations start was a good idea. But she convinced them that it was a good idea because she could get them a really, really big majority, and then anything they wanted in Parliament, they could get through. And instead, the exact opposite's happened. She started with a slim majority of, 12 or 13 seats, and she's finished 8 short. So she's actually worsened their position. She's actually made Jeremy Corbyn look even stronger. And now Conservatives are baying for her blood. I mean, I spoke to a Conservative MP earlier who said that, if they had anything to do with it, she'd be gone within a week. She's come out and said she won't resign, but I think her position's completely untenable. So no Tory MP I spoke to wants to stand up for her. We've already had a few live on TV just completely call for her to resign and say that her campaign was appalling, in the words of one Anna Soubry. But equally, nobody will come out and defend her. Boris Johnson, Foreign Secretary, won't. David Davis, the Brexit Secretary. They were all asked repeatedly by the BBC if they would back and support May. They all refused to come on TV and reply to anybody.
I mean, the question is, what happens to Brexit? You've raised it, and people have been talking about it. I mean, the fate of Theresa May is less important than what this really does to the Brexit vote and the details and procedures there.
I think it makes it even worse. I mean, I spoke to a colleague in Brussels today, and he said that every single person he saw looked at him, laughed, and asked what was going on in Britain. People already thought that Theresa May was quite weak on Brexit in Brussels. I mean, Juncker, who is, you know, the head over there, was quoted in a leaked report saying that he thought she was on another galaxy and that she didn't understand how Brexit negotiations would actually go. I mean, she told the public that she needed a majority so she'd have a strong hand in Brexit negotiations. And I think that's backfired on her, because now she doesn't have a majority. So she's essentially told the British public that she's going to have a really weak hand in Brexit.
The Brexit question is more about the state of the entire British electorate. Do we know the answer to that question? Whatever the fate of Theresa May is with this, strange coalition?
I think at this point, nobody really knows what's going to happen. I mean, you know, leaving the European Union is completely unprecedented. I think Theresa May, you know, could easily be forced out, etc. But also, if she wants to get anything through Parliament, she's got such a weak majority now. All she needs is for 8 Tory MPs to rebel, and they can't get anything passed.
The Irish, I believe, are pro staying in the Union. Of course, Ireland is a separate country, but the Unionists, being right up there on the island, do they have a Brexit position that's clear?
Yes. So in Northern Ireland, at the moment, there are two parties. So Sinn Féin, who are the Republicans who think that we should have a united Ireland, and Sinn Féin are completely anti-Brexit. But the DUP, the Democratic Unionists, who Theresa May is going into coalition with, campaigned for Brexit. They want to see a hard border brought in. They want to see the border between Northern and Southern Ireland policed and, you know, militarised again. And obviously, a lot of people are terrified of that. A lot of people in, you know, Northern Ireland, I've got family there, travel to the south every day for work. They've got friends and family there. And if you bring back a militarized border with police patrolling it, fences, etc., then you really do run the risk, you know, a very, very high risk of bringing back trouble, bringing back memories of the troubles in Ireland, and almost certainly bringing back, you know, conflict and paramilitary organizations.
Dawn Foster is a columnist for The Guardian.